Hi, welcome to Bookie. Today we'll unlock the book, Steve Jobs. Who would you think of when we speak of the innovators in history who have changed the world? Einstein, Napoleon, Martin Luther King Jr., or Bill Gates? Those great human beings went their own way, with great willpower and ability to take action. Some of them changed the world and the course of human history. Some of them made great inventions that changed our lifestyle. Of course, there have also been a handful of people who felt that no rules in the world could control them. A man like this said with confidence that to live is to change the world. Many see him as a genius and a crazy man at the same time. This is the co-founder of Apple Incorporated, Steve Jobs. In his lifetime, Jobs played a major role in the creation of two public companies, Apple Incorporated and Pixar Animation Studios. Among them, Apple's worth has reached over $1 trillion, and it has stayed in the top one place of the most admired global company, ranking of Fortune magazine for 11 consecutive years. Ever since the founding of Apple, Jobs has revolutionized six industries: personal computers, animated movies, music, phones, tablet computing, and digital publishing. The lives of people around the world have been revolutionized thanks to him. The author of this book, Walter Isaacson, is a famous biographer from the United States. He has been the managing editor of Time magazine and the CEO of CNN, the world media giant. He has written biographies of some world-changing figures like Leonardo da Vinci, Benjamin Franklin, and Albert Einstein. Jobs personally asked Isaacson twice to write the biography for him. He thought that Isaacson was good at getting people to talk, and believed totally in his ability to write a great biography. The author made more than 40 in-depth face-to-face interviews with Jobs along the way. Jobs was essentially a very private person, but he gave the author no restrictions in this matter. Isaacson was even allowed unrestricted interviews with more than 100 people, including Jobs' family members, friends, co-workers, and even competitors and enemies. This helped him verify the authenticity of related events. All of this allowed the making of the book, Steve Jobs as We Have It Today. In today's Bookie, we will introduce you to the legendary life of Jobs in three parts. First, the becoming of his genius and craziness. Second, the key to the uniqueness of Apple. And third, the unknown side of Jobs. Part 1, the becoming of his genius and craziness. Albert Einstein once said, "Any fool can make things more complicated, only a genius can make things easier." Without a doubt, Steve Jobs is a genius among geniuses. Steve Jobs' biological mother, Joanne, came from a Catholic family of German descent. She fell in love with Jandali, a Muslim Syrian, but her father strongly opposed this relationship. Even so, Joanne still got pregnant and gave birth to a baby boy at the age of 23. Although she didn't want to, Joanne had to abandon the baby under intense pressure. Later, the boy was adopted by Paul and Clara Jobs. The couple raised Steve Jobs as their own child, giving him all their love. Jobs learned that he was adopted when he was 6 or 7 years old. One day, when he mentioned this to a little friend, she asked in surprise, "So, does that mean your real parents didn't want you?" Jobs felt like he'd been struck by a lightning bolt and ran to confront his adoptive parents. They told him, "No, you have to understand. We specifically picked you out." Since his adoptive parents gave him much love and care, Jobs saw his abandonment and adoption as something that had made him more independent. However, the extreme desire for control in his personality might have come from his life experience as an abandoned kid. The deep insecurity inside his heart made him want to take control of everything around him. When Jobs was 5, his family moved to Mountain View, a city in the southern part of the San Francisco Bay and the origin of Silicon Valley. There were two factors that shaped the future of this area. First, a large number of returning university students after the Second World War boosted entrepreneurship and employment in this area. Stanford University, which was located here, opened an industrial park. One of the first companies that settled there was Hewlett-Packard. Kodak and General Electric also set up technology research centers later. At the end of the 1960s, various cultural trends converged in San Francisco and Silicon Valley. The technological revolution took place with the development of military contractors, and various venture investments also emerged. Then electronic companies, microchip manufacturers, and computer companies came along. Second, the subculture of hackers also appeared here. These hackers had a keen interest in the electronics industry, and most of them were experienced players in this industry. Inspired by various ideas and opportunities, almost everyone in this place dreamed of being an engineer. Jobs was gifted from an early age and grew up in a creative environment. Once, an engineer called Larry Lang gave Jobs a Heathkit, which could be used to assemble various radios. Jobs found the secrets of television assembly in this kit, and it opened up his world of innovation in electronics. Larry Lang also got Jobs into the Hewlett-Packard Explorers Club, where he could see the research process of some new technologies. One time, Jobs got the chance to visit a holography lab. It was the first time that Jobs saw the small computers that Hewlett-Packard was developing. It was huge and weighed about 40 pounds, but Jobs fell in love with it the moment he saw it. Growing up in such a diversified environment, Jobs showed great interest in mathematics, science, and developed his practical skills as well. The inclusive culture of Silicon Valley made Jobs hopeful about the emerging electronics industry. If the culture of Silicon Valley kindled Jobs' enthusiasm for electronics technology, then it was the prevalent hippie culture that liberated his nature. During the 1960s, a group of young people in the Western society started to show their contempt for traditions. They chose to stay away from the mainstream and expressed their rebellion against reality with a counterculture lifestyle. They loved rock music, took LSD, smoked pot, and pursued Zen Buddhism, all for the purpose of self-expression and spiritual enlightenment. The mingling of hippie culture and the power of computers meant the combination of ideas and technology. This was well manifested in Jobs. In the last 2 years of high school, Jobs not only indulged himself in the geek world, but also made literature and creative endeavors. He loved music, especially Bach and Bob Dylan. In the end, it was Zen Buddhism that influenced Jobs the most, which brought him to another world. Jobs found that Buddhism focuses on one's inner world. Through the concentration of the mind, one can intuitively experience wisdom and cognition. Jobs was almost obsessed with Zen. He became a serious vegetarian, eating only fruits and vegetables. For some time, the color of his face even turned orange, because, as it was said, he had eaten too many carrots. Later, Jobs took a 7-month spiritual journey in India. This magical trip to India completely changed his mind. Daniel Kotka, a friend of Jobs who was just as crazy for Zen, said that Jobs went to India, partly because he didn't know who his biological parents were. He wanted to know where he came from and where he should go. His spiritual journey in India had a profound impact on Jobs' outlook on life and his worldview. After the trip, Jobs found that, while the Westerners are good at identifying and solving problems with rational thinking, they might be limited when faced with difficulties. The Easterners, however, never trained for rational thinking, make their judgments intuitively when facing obstacles. When one calms down, one starts to see things more clearly and be in the present more. As a result, one's horizon will broaden, and problems can be solved easily. All this being said, we see two contradictory sides in Jobs. On the one hand, he loved science and technology, advocated liberalism, and was extremely open-minded. On the other hand, because he was once abandoned, he was very sensitive and lacked a sense of security, but his desire for control was strong. It was exactly this combination of humanity and scientific talent in Jobs' strong personality that produced his creativity and would incessantly drive Jobs to create Apple products. It was destined for him to be the indispensable key figure of Apple in the future. Now let's summarize what we have talked about in the first part. First, we talked about how being abandoned by his biological parents made Jobs sensitive and independent. Then we talked about how the culture of Silicon Valley kindled Jobs' great passion for electronics. Finally, we learned How the hippie culture and Zen Buddhism allowed Jobs to find a spiritual practice, liberated his personality and opened up his horizons. Part 2, Jobs' Keys to the Uniqueness of Apple. We have just mentioned that Jobs had characteristics of both a genius and a crazy man. None of the rules of the world applied to him, and he had always declared to the world that he was a rebel. But it was these characteristics that allowed Jobs to create one miracle after another in the field of science and technology. How exactly did his character contribute to the creation of Apple? What is the key to the uniqueness of Apple? In the beginning, Jobs and his friend, Steve Wozniak, assembled a computer in his father's garage and founded Apple. After that, came the Macs, iPods, iPhones, iPads, Next Incorporated, and Pixar Animation Studios. These achievements were all closely related to Jobs' extreme character. He was brilliant and creative, but he was also paranoid and ruthless. Such personality would undoubtedly torture, even hurt those around him. But thanks to his paranoia and extreme pursuit of perfection, he was able to design electronic products with excellent performance and appearance. Throughout his life, he had believed that attention should be given to every last detail, and that simplicity is the ultimate sophistication. First, let's talk about his attention to detail and pursuit of perfection. We'll need to start with his adoptive father, Paul Jobs. Paul was a machinist, and he loved to modify and reassemble cars. He taught little Jobs to identify car parts, told him about sophisticated design details of different cars, and made various things with him. Paul taught him that craftsmanship was not only about design, but every detail should be attended to perfection. It was important to craft the backs of fences properly, even though they were hidden. His father's influence was reflected in the design and manufacture of almost every product series of Apple. For example, Jobs would closely check the layout of circuit boards, chips, and various other parts inside the product, even though customers usually do not see them. Still, Jobs would be very critical about those details. He would get angry if the memory chip looked ugly or the lines were not straight enough. He had to take products' simplicity and beauty to the extreme. Even if it could only be seen by the repair person, after opening the product, Jobs would insist on his principle. Furthermore, when designing the Macintosh, Jobs didn't want the fan inside and demanded to change the design of the power supply. This was because he thought the noise of the fan was a distraction. Later, when the computer came out in the market, the public loved it, for it was simply amazing and beautiful. Due to the lack of a fan, however, the computer could not cool down during use, and it would become so heated that it could even toast bread. For this reason, it was quickly abandoned by the consumers and got the nickname the Beige Toaster. The butterfly effect inflicted by this design later generated a huge impact on Apple. Computers were reprogrammed, products in stock were sold on sale, production of the model in question was cancelled, and some staff even resigned. Jobs stuck to his design concept, even if it had brought the company setbacks. In the long run, the benefit would always outweigh the disadvantages. When designing the iPad screen, Jobs found the prototype not casual and friendly enough. He hoped that the customer could just grab the iPad with one hand, instead of holding it with great caution. That meant the four corners of the iPad needed to be rounded, and that in turn required all connection ports and buttons to be designed along the iPad's edge, which must be thin enough to accommodate these. Such design required extreme complexity in the manufacturing, but Jobs insisted. After months of hard work, the edge finally met Jobs' requirements. That was only one aspect of the iPad. Others like the glass screen, the multi-touch technology, the thickness, and weight of the final product, all went through Jobs' meticulous consideration and strict requirements. From its chip to materials, the iPad was created under the strict control of Jobs. Thankfully, this all paid off. On the 27th of January, 2010, the iPad debuted in San Francisco. Its launch brought enthusiasm, much more than that of any past products. Steve Jobs stood on the stage, just like Jesus being worshipped by his followers. The Economist magazine featured Jobs on its cover, with a saint-like robe on, and a halo behind his head, holding an iPad that was dubbed the Jesus Tablet. The Wall Street Journal also said, "The last time there was this much excitement about a tablet, it had some commandments written on it." Undoubtedly, Jobs became the modern version of Jesus. With that said, we can see that Jobs' pursuit of perfection in detail was reflected in all aspects of Apple products that he designed. That is why we are amazed by Apple products every time. Second, let's see how he took simplicity to the extreme. Every time we get an Apple product, we see a white package, clean and simple. Opening the package, the product then manifests its high-tech feel. Apple products' simple design comes largely from Jobs' Zen philosophy. The belief in Zen Buddhism made Jobs pursue simplicity. It also comes partly from the house in which Jobs lived when he was young. Inspired by the design of a famous American architect, the house was inexpensive and of decent quality, suitable for ordinary people. The rooms were small but practical. It even has underfloor heating, so lower-income people could enjoy warmth too. These factors inspired Jobs' initial idea when designing Apple products, which is to incorporate the best design and simple functions into the product. The product must look good, must be practical, and can be full of fun. The Mac desktop that we use today came out for the first time when Jobs created the Macintosh. On the desktop, we can see every file that we need. This design is so convenient that those who have never used a Mac can understand it quickly. For this reason, it has been used to this day. In Jobs' view, ultimate simplicity is the key, but the fun can never be ignored. Speaking of fun, the following story must be told. When developing the iMac, Jobs insisted on using a translucent colored plastic for the iMac's casing. He thought that the translucent color allowed people to see the inside, so it wasn't as dull as only seeing one color. The design was also very playful. To make the colors look enticing, he even went to a jelly bean factory in South Korea for inspiration. Jobs also had a handle nestled into the iMac so that it would look more friendly, and people couldn't resist bringing it home once they saw it. Such minimalist but playful design has become a trademark style of Apple and has earned more and more fans. Third, Apple's marketing can't do without creative advertising ideas. Everyone would know by now that Jobs was a master in creative advertising. In an advertisement for the Macintosh in 1984, an audience of 200 people with shaved heads sit in a cinema, watching and listening to Big Brother on the large screen. Then suddenly, the heroine, who wears a white tank top with a picture of Macintosh on it, shows up from behind. Holding a sledgehammer in her hand, she runs at full speed toward the screen and throws the sledgehammer into it. Then boom, a deep male voice starts to read, "On January 24th, Apple Computer will introduce Macintosh. You'll see why 1984 won't be like 1984. In this ad, the previous 1984 refers to the year, and the latter 1984 is the title of a dystopian novel. By making comparisons with this masterpiece, in which extreme autocracy is pictured, the ad manifests to the world Apple's core belief: technology has never been the exclusive right of large companies and governments, ordinary people can also own it." After the ad was broadcasted, all three networks and 50 local stations aired news stories about the ad, and hundreds of print media carried out follow-up reports. As a result of this explosive publicity, sales of the Mac topped more than $150 million within 100 days after its launch. Jobs expressed his pursuit of freedom, his rebelliousness, and advocated for having one's own personality in the ad. This was the result of the double impact from the Silicon Valley culture and the hippie movement. Such spirit was also ultimately revealed in the Think Different commercial, created after his return to Apple. The ad features people who have changed the world in history, including Albert Einstein, Mahatma Gandhi, and Thomas Edison. They were Jobs' idols, as they were creative, adventurous, and unafraid of failure. As the ad says, they were the misfits, the rebels, the troublemakers, the round pegs in the square holes. While some may see them as the crazy ones, we see genius. Because the people who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones who do. This ad was created when Apple's stock price fell to the bottom. Once broadcasted, it successfully saved Apple's image and played a vital role in the following sales of the iMac. That's it for our second part, let's review it again. First, we talked about how Jobs inherited the attention to detail and perfectionism from his father. Next, we talked about how Jobs always adhered to the concept of simplicity. It meant not only a simple appearance supported by sophisticated craftsmanship, but also simplicity without losing fun. Finally, we talked about how he continued to surprise us with his advertising campaigns. One after another, his creative ads established the unique image of Apple and further brought Apple to its peak. Part 3: The Unknown Side of Jobs. In the second part, we have seen how Jobs built the empire of Apple, but what kind of person was he truly behind the glamour? What was his personal life like? Had he ever failed? You must be curious. Next, let's unveil the unknown side of Jobs. We mentioned earlier that Jobs was abandoned by his biological parents, thus developing his independent personality and a strong desire for control. The adoptive parents told him that he was special, and he felt that none of the rules in the world applied to him. He believed that he was the chosen one, just like Einstein and Edison. Such combination of self-confidence and extreme desire for control created Jobs' so-called reality distortion field. The reality distortion field is like a brainwashing technique. Jobs could persuade anyone with his uniquely charming way of speaking. He could see one's hidden desires and make one believe in him, then help him accomplish something impossible. This ability allowed Jobs to tap the engineer's potential to create surprising Apple products one after another. However, it also brought many negative effects to his work, his personal life, and even his health. Jobs' charming personality attracted a girl. When he was about to graduate from high school, he met Chrisanne Brennan, a girl who was drawn to the hippie culture like him. They both loved vegetarian food, Zen Buddhism, and rock music. They had a very good time together. Brennan once said that Jobs was very talented. He was sometimes open and sometimes cruel, which was so fascinating. They then kept an on-again-off-again relationship for 5 years. During that time, Brennan got pregnant, but Jobs denied the child and did not allow Brennan put the child up for adoption. When the child was born, Jobs named her Lisa. It was a big coincidence that Jobs was born when his mother was 23, and he was 23 when his daughter was born. Destiny can sometimes be very mysterious. Jobs' mother abandoned him, and he abandoned his own daughter too. The local government later sued Jobs, requiring him to pay child support, but he refused. Even when a paternity test was performed, and the results proved Lisa to be his daughter, Jobs still claimed that 28% of males in the US could be her father. However, since Apple was going public at that time, he reluctantly agreed to pay the child support. Years later, he regretted what he had done, saying that he had long admitted to being the child's father in his heart, but was too young to know how to be a good father. He also said that, if given another chance, he might have done better. Obviously, even a genius can make mistakes. Jobs could generate a powerful reality distortion field around him, which would help him accomplish many seemingly impossible tasks. He also had a super strong desire for control and a perfectionist philosophy. To him, a product's design was either excellent or garbage. Similarly, he saw his co-workers as either geniuses or fools. His eccentric characteristics and big temper drove many people crazy, and as such, even got Jobs kicked out of Apple once. Many would ask, since Apple was his own creation, how could this happen? Back then, Jobs was still too young to know how to run a company, so Apple was hiring professional CEOs. John Sculley was the CEO during that period. He had been president of Pepsi-Cola until he was hired by Jobs using the famous line, "Do you want to sell sugar water for the rest of your life, or come with me and change the world?" Their initial collaboration seemed smooth, but Jobs' desire for control seeped through his reality distortion field and soon made the situation somewhat unpleasant. Shortly after the launch of the Macintosh, Jobs became famous like never before. Sculley did not limit Jobs' control, but decided to merge the Macintosh team with that of Lisa and hoped that Jobs could run the new team. Lisa, named after Jobs' daughter, was a previously developed computer model. But Jobs was so ruthless that he insisted on firing a quarter of the engineers on the Lisa team. In his eyes, only the very best engineers deserved to work with him. This approach caused dissatisfaction among many Lisa team engineers at that time. After that, the sales of the Macintosh kept declining. One reason was its lack of an internal hard disk drive, which resulted in very small memory. Besides, since Jobs thought the fan was too noisy, the Macintosh was designed without a fan, resulting in poor heat dissipation. The conflict between Scully and Jobs was also increasing. Scully attempted to maximize profits by keeping the Macintosh price high when Jobs wanted to make it more affordable. Scully had a strong sales background, but he knew nothing about products. He always thought about how to make more money for the company, but Jobs always focused on his products. Each of them saw things from his own perspective, so conflicts intensified, and more engineers left the company. Later, Scully gave Jobs a fatal blow on his career and personal life. He asked the board to choose between him and Jobs. In the end, almost every person voted for Scully, and Jobs was forced to leave Apple. Jobs' desire to control the products might have made Apple's products better and better, but his desire to control people, coupled with his moody characteristics and black-and-white thinking, forced those who couldn't bear it to abandon him. Jobs paid for his arrogance and had to leave Apple, but it became a turning point that made Jobs more mature. After leaving Apple, Jobs not only founded a new company, Next Incorporated, but also invested in Pixar Animation Studios, which later became a huge success. In the beginning, Pixar was just a group that made short computer animated films, but Jobs was fascinated by their work. He had always enjoyed the partnership of technology and art. When Pixar and Disney cooperated to make Toy Story, Jobs learned to restrain himself. He no longer interfered with the creation process and made efforts to coordinate the relationship with Disney. His turnaround allowed Toy Story to be a huge success, and this also afforded him the opportunity to return to Apple. Getting kicked out of Apple gave Jobs a sense of self-restraint, which allowed him to find a balancing point in his desire for control at work. He returned to Apple again, then worked his way back up to CEO, and created one great product after another. Unsurprisingly, he was still paranoid when it came to his personal beliefs, which would eventually cost him his life. In October 2003, Jobs was diagnosed with a tumor in his pancreas. The doctor suggested an immediate surgery, but Jobs firmly refused it. He believed there were other ways to fight against it. In the following 9 months, he tried acupuncture, kept to a strict vegan diet, and took herbal remedies. Jobs had always thought that he could will things to go as he wanted. This was the reality distortion field that he put on himself. When he didn't feel like dealing with something, he would just ignore it. Jobs thus missed the optimal timing for surgical treatment, and the cancer had spread. Later, he had a liver transplant, which extended his lifespan to a certain extent. During his recovery from the operation, the doctor advised him to take in protein and other nutrients, but he refused because he was a firm vegetarian. This belief, which was deeply rooted in his mind since his youth, was unshakable, and it actually damaged his health. Jobs was a combination of a genius and a crazy person. He abandoned his daughter, got kicked out of Apple, and even tried to cure his own disease with willpower. All right, now let's do a brief review of what we have covered. First, we talked about the formation of Jobs' character. While being abandoned by his biological parents gave him great anxiety, his adoptive parents' love and care made him believe that he was special and allowed him to change the world. Silicon Valley kindled his passion for electronic science and technology, while the hippie culture and Zen Buddhism gave him sensibility and a passion for art. Then we talked about his key to making Apple unique. He was not only attentive to detail and a perfectionist, but also pursued utmost simplicity, requiring the products to be good-looking, simple, and handy. In terms of advertising creativity, he was not afraid to break the rules and be unusual. Lastly, we learned about the unknown side of his character. He chose to avoid responsibility and abandoned his biological daughter. he got kicked out of Apple, which he founded, because he was a control freak and had a bad temper. Later, he matured and took a leading role in Pixar Animation. He avoided facing his own disease and ultimately missed the optimal timing to treat it. Perhaps Jobs was not a model business leader that everyone can imitate, nor was he a moral example. That being said, he undeniably changed our lives, changed the world, and changed this era. His story is both instructive and cautionary. His passion, tenacity, and creativity are worth learning from, but his paranoia, stubbornness, and extreme desire for control should be avoided. This genius who created Apple, the most creative company in the world, has become a memory of our time. No doubt that he will still be remembered even in the next century. As Jobs said himself when facing death, "I like to think that something survives after you die." Why? Perhaps that's why he never liked to put the on-off switches on Apple devices.
Dir hat dieser Podcast gefallen? Dann klicke jetzt auf Abonnieren und empfehle ihn weiter. Bleib immer auf dem Laufenden und folge uns bei Twitter, Instagram und Facebook. Mehr Podcasts findest du auf meinpodcast.de.